Blog Talk Radio.
Anna, did you turn off the music?
Yes.
You know I like listening to it. Hi, this is Carrie. Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives. Tonight we have Jade Harlow on from The Bay and Days of Our Lives. And if you'd like to call in to talk to Jade, call in now at 914-338-1239. Press 1 to get into the host queue. Anna will be screening calls tonight. And you can also use Skype, too, so don't forget. And you can also call in to listen if you aren't able to do it with your computer and just press 2, so that way we won't put you on the air. So hi, Jade. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm good. How about y'all?
Good.
Fantastic. Good. Yeah, thank you. Our co-hosts tonight are Anna.
Hello.
And Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hey, Jade, since I've been watching you on The Bay, the number one question always pops into my mind, you probably heard it a thousand times, is were you born with the name Jade Harlow? Because it is the perfect Hollywood actress name. I love your name.
I had a writer friend of mine the other day, like, that should be a character in a book. I've been called Jade my entire life. I've never been called anything other than that.
Very cool. So you were destined then, right?
Yeah.
Your parents knew ahead of time you were destined for Hollywood.
I don't know about all that, but the Jade is, I have a first name, which is Janice, but I've always gone by my middle name because my aunt's name is Janice, and like when my mom was in labor, she was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to have a kid. Please name a kid after me. And my mom was just like, okay. And so I have a first name, but I've never been called it. And my mom told me she got Jade from, apparently, Brooke Shields played a hooker in a movie called Baby Baby that my mom watched when she was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
So I was named after a hooker.
And speaking of your name, Harlow, I don't know if you... This is going way back. There was a old Hollywood, Jean Harlow. Have you ever heard of that
actress? Right.
Yeah,
sure.
She was like a bomb bombshell.
She died of syphilis.
Yeah, she died very young at age 26. Some kind of but she was like real popular and real like in a lot of movies, especially with Clark Gable.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my parents and grandparents talking. I was just wondering, no relation.
She was old
at all.
Kind of.
Yeah. But, I mean, your name's similar, Jean, Jane, Jade, so, yeah.
Yeah. No relation. No relation.
Yeah, okay.
That I know of. I mean, it's not like I've put any effort at all into finding out anything with that stuff.
You never know.
My family's Southern. It's a big family, you know. I mean, anything is certainly possible.
Yeah.
Southern, like what part of the country?
Originally, my family's from Tennessee. A bunch of them live in Georgia, in Atlanta now, and my immediate lived in Vegas. I grew up half in Vegas, and, you know, when I moved out and moved to L.A., my folks retired to Tahoe.
Oh, wow.
But my mom has a real thick accent. Everybody's got a real thick accent. I don't even hear it. I only hear a Southern accent if it's a bad Southern accent. That's the only time I pick up on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I lived in Georgia for a little bit and mostly Texas, but yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, where are you guys at in the world?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I'm near Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a longtime Texan, but I've moved to the Midwest, so I'm in near Kansas City, so.
Oh, you guys are all dealing with that weather.
Yes, we are.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Poor things. I'm so sorry.
We're ready for spring.
Yes.
I'll bet.
I know. It's like, oh, man, L.A. We're all dreaming of L.A. just to be there in the sun.
Come on out. There's plenty of sun.
Hey, party.
So
you guys are you're doing your table readings now, right? Or you recently did
for
the Bay? Yeah.
Yeah, we start shooting tomorrow. We shoot, Friday through Monday are our shoot days, going back into production, and we were table reading what we're getting ready to shoot. And, I mean, it should be fun. It's going to be some long days, but, you know, they're with good people. It's not so bad when you like the folks you work with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you get involved with the Bay in the first place? How did they draw you in? I hope the story isn't too long. I got a regular audition through my manager for the first time I'd ever heard the term web series, for a web series that Tristan Rogers, was actually starring in and producing, and that was called Reality Bites. And so I went in and I auditioned for him. Yeah. Really, really, really well-written show, by the way. Literally, I go in, I auditioned for him. It went well. I booked it. And then for whatever reasons, behind the scenes, it never happened. And I was kind of disheartened. And, like, right around that falling apart, I got another call to audition for another web series called The Bay. And And I had gotten the referral from Tristan Rogers, actually, told Gregory about me, and then Gregory called my manager and brought me in for Leanna. So thank you, Tristan Rogers.
He's awesome. We love him.
Yeah, truly.
Aww.
Did you have any, do you think it was a challenge for you to play a teenager?
Oh, God.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, no, the joke is I'm the Andrea Zuckerman of the Bay. I don't know if you guys... Okay, good.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Got a laugh. High five. Okay, yeah. For those that don't know who she was a character on the original 90210. She was like 30 playing 16.
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the joke on set now, and I'm fully aware of it, you know. It's weird, especially when your mother, the woman playing your mother, is so young and vibrant and gorgeous. It's like, you know, sometimes I go, my God, like, I need all the help I can get over here. Like, I love Lily to death, but let's light her crappy. Like, what can we do to fix this? It's strange. It's, you know, I don't ever remember being like a normal kind of teenager. I don't even know what that would mean, you know, or if that exists, if normal as a teenager really exists. But, and Leanna definitely isn't, you know, normal. But I've always kind of been like a little adult. So, it was weird.
I can relate to that.
You know, certain kids are just born that way. And
yes,
I was one of them. Yeah, so it was weird to have someone, Gregory, tell me how they see a teenager and what his, you know, what he thinks they sound like specifically. Excuse me. I was wolfing down Crystal Light before you guys called, by the way, and I made it a little too sour, and I'm suffering through it. But excuse me as I clear my throat a lot. But, yeah, it's weird playing a teenager and having someone, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, short answer is yeah. Yeah, and everybody has a different idea of a teenager, too. Like, Gregory has his idea of a teenager. I have my memory of being one. I'm sure you guys all have memories of being a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the characteristics that would encapsulate a teenager are kind of subjective, depending on the
person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when they're written from an adult perspective, you know, like, it's always fun, like, to see how, like, even on, you know, soap operas and stuff, like, where, you know, they're writing these stories for teenagers, and you're wondering, is that really what they're doing right now, or is that the writer's idea of what they're, you know what I mean? Because I don't know, I'm not in that world anymore, so I have no idea. But
Well, that was what was interesting about that one film, 13. I can't remember the actress's name. She was also in Arrested.
Jennifer,
Let me hold on. I got every movie ever right here.
Jennifer Garner? Was that Jennifer Garner?
I have a huge collection. Oh, we'll come back to it. But she actually wrote 13, or 13 the film. I believe that's what it was. 13 the film was written by a real 13-year-old at the time she was 13.
Oh.
And that's pretty darn racy. That's more racy and adult than, you know, anything else I've seen
I'm thinking of the movie 13 going on 30 or whatever or something like that. It was like there was
Jennifer
Garner. It was a different
one. This is like a really well praised, gritty, independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, y'all gotta check that out. It's hard to watch if you have teenagers.
Oh God, I'm skipping it.
Skip it.
Who wants to remember those days?
Well, my son's 12, and I've had panic attacks thinking about him dating, so I don't even want to think about him being a teenager in 6 months. I don't know. I'd rather be oblivious. But, yeah, just
teenagers are hard.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, and, well, it's nice that they put you guys 3 years in the future. So, now Leanna's an adult, and she's not. I'm not sure how old she was in the beginning, if she was 16 or 17 or not. So at least, you know, she's old enough to drink or whatever. So
yes. And taking full advantage of it, by the way. She's like, somebody rang the dinner bell. You know, I don't know. I think a lot of people, when they turn 21, do that and then end up regretting it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm happy that, you know, we're 3 years in the future or ahead some. One of the notes that I get a lot, and I don't know if I should be saying this, but whatever, is that my voice is too deep. So I'm hoping that Leanna has a voice change like men do when they go through adolescence, because it's a challenge for me to, you know, I mean, you can put on an accent, but there's only so much you can do about your voice. You know?
Right.
So hopefully her voice is hers, you know.
Yeah.
And hopefully she gets smarter. I'm really hoping this character just, you know, I'm rooting for her. As someone on the latter end of the 20s or worse or further, you know, you look back at somebody that age, you know, if you've been there or know somebody who's struggling that bad, it's like, if only I could go back to the former me and say, it's going to be okay, kid. You're going to be okay.
Aww.
You know? So I root for Leanna.
Yes. I mean, she just had just an amazing run of bad luck. She saw her father blown up. So she found out he was her father, and then her boyfriend broke up with her, and found out her mother was lying all these years on who her father was. I mean, that's all at one time. That's very devastating.
Oh, definitely. You know, I can relate to a lot of what's happened to her character and the feeling of you know, I don't know if all teenagers go through it, if it was just me, but I went through this thing where it's like, you know, you're my parents, but I don't know you at all. We're strangers. You know, as you try to create your own independence, and sometimes things will cause that, like with what happened with Leanna and her paternity. And sometimes other things will cause it. But, she's had a real rough run of it. I don't know what would change that. You know, I don't know if Leanna can ever feel secure, or what would bring about her security. You know, late bloomers. And I think that, you know, if you walk out of high school or college and you're a secure person and you're self-assured and you know your self-worth, then you are way ahead of everybody else in life.
Right.
You know, because I'm still stumbling my way along that treasure hunt. So
I love that. That's a good way of putting it. I love it. That treasure hunt.
That's what it is.
True.
Like a little treasure hunt.
Yeah, but she kind of has no way out. I mean, I don't know if she's ever held a job. She doesn't have an education. I mean, you know, how does she get herself out of the lifestyle she's in with the prostitution and the drugs and all that? And, you know, being ashamed of her mother, not having a father, and having some friends, which is helpful. But, yeah, it's I'm sure she feels, you know, helpless.
like, you know, there's nothing else for me to do than what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of Leanna's decisions are based on, you know what, who cares? It doesn't matter anyway. I don't really matter anyway, you know.
Right.
There's no reason for her to be hanging on, but she is. You know, there's no optimism on her horizon. She doesn't hope for more than what she has. She just hope it doesn't get worse. So, I don't know. That she's really tenacious, and it's shown me a lot about being resilient as a person. Like, she takes a licking, but she keeps on ticking, and she keeps coming back. And what I like about Leanna is, even though she's been through what she's been through, I feel like she still has a sense of innocence there, where she still thinks that there are good in all people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that dream is completely broken in her.
Aww. I was going to ask you what things you take away from the character, you know, like what things you might have learned and stuff from playing her. So that's really...
Oh yeah, get back up.
Neat way to put it.
Get
back
up. I've learned that from Leanna. Get back up. Keep walking.
Mhm. Oh well, things could get worse. As her mom sleeping with her ex boyfriend, so she hasn't known about that one yet.
I have no idea she would react.
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of me wants to. Physically tear the skin off my best friend's face. You know what I mean? Like, I love Lily to death, and we are so close, but I can't imagine how Leanna is going to react to finding that out.
That should be fun. Watch that.
Yeah,
it'll be cathartic. I should hold up all my anger until that comes out.
Yeah. And channel it.
Right?
That was quite the visual, ripping the skin off her face. I was like, wow.
Like, you know when you get so mad, it's just like, I'm coming at you.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to come at you. You know? I don't think Leanna would have a plan. She's very reactive. She does not think before she does things, and she doesn't think a whole lot before she says things, and then she ends up, you know, high as a kite and bleeding to death and, you know, everything else that's happened to her, making bad decisions with what she does for a living, who she works for. You know, the men that she has an interest in, she knee-jerk reactions. So I have no idea how she would react to that. That should be a conversation I should have with Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, we've talked about everything behind the scenes, but we never talked about that, which seems so obvious.
Yeah, I feel so bad for her. I mean, she gets blindsided. I mean, you can't even wrap your mind around it, your mom's, you know, screwing your ex-boyfriend. I mean, that's not even something that you would even think about in a nightmare. I mean, that's, you know, I mean,
right.
I mean, I thought you were amazing with the, when you saw your father getting blown up. But Leanna was so devastated and just shocked. I mean, it was fantastic. I thought your acting was just superior in that scene.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Can you imagine seeing such a thing?
No.
It's like those moments in life where you're like, is this a hallucination? Am I awake right now? Like, you know?
She went from something positive. You know, she finally has a father. I mean, I'm not sure who she thought her father was in the first place or if he was around, but, you know, something that could be positive, you know, having a father in her life and going to see him and, you know, that was the last time she saw him. Oh, or allegedly,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Gregory has a trick up his sleeve with Lee. So you never know.
I know, right? Typical soap fashion. I don't know that Lee would come back, but, you know, how I had played Leanna up until, you know, finding out about when I found out about the paternity situation. You know, here's a girl who's been pretty much, she's put everything she is and has on the line and been rejected again and again. Like, she's rejected by Pete in the beginning, the kids at school, you know, like, she's shunned there. Her mother doesn't really have a whole lot of time for her because she's doing her own thing, living her own life, and just, you know, that's that's her. She loves Leanna, but she's, you know, I can't say terribly involved. Otherwise, Leanna wouldn't feel like, I thought when I read the Lee situation that Leanna thought, well, I've struck out everywhere else. Maybe the one person on this whole planet that will love me, that will
right.
notice me, will be him, you know? And then to see that blow up in your face, literally, and feel
mm-hmm.
like, well, that was my last option for someone to care where I went when that happened, when we shot that. You know, that was literally like someone pulling a pull chain toilet and Leanna's life just going down the drain.
Oh. Yeah, I think Will is in her corner, though. So maybe
she does
maybe
have
a
hero.
Yeah,
she does have a hero, which I don't think she understands. Like, I don't think she understands friendship because, you know, her idea of friendship is she puts herself out there and then someone gives as much as she gave. And so
mm-hmm.
to have someone who she didn't even think knew she existed coming in and saying, you know, what are you doing? Like, but really, what are you doing? I don't think she gets that. I think she sees that as a, you know, what was your investment in me? What do you care? You don't care. No one cares. You know, you're a stranger
mm-hmm.
and you're acting like you care, but you don't care. And so I think Leanna's so used to being rejected. She doesn't even recognize an olive branch
yeah.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you be producing it all this weekend?
Will I be producing this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I assume so, off and on. I know I've got another project that I'm also working on simultaneously that I'll definitely be producing on. We're frenetic crunch. It's all good things, but we're scrambling around kind of like someone kicked our anthill. So, you know what I mean? Which isn't too far off from what's going on with the Bay. I mean, any shoot, you know, the night before you go into production or even the week before is a mad dash to try to make the stars align perfectly. You know, so any way I can contribute and help that cause, you know, I'm down to do. I'm down
mm-hmm.
to do.
What's the other project you're working on?
I'm going to be producing my first feature.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually, like, yeah, I'm in the process of that. We're coming out of development, and, you know, we should be headed into pre-production here soon if everything goes how we hope it to. And it's cool. I'm excited.
What
about
kind
it,
of
you
got
know?
You? What kind of got you into the business side of it? You know, what drew? What was just something you always wanted to do, or this sort of fit for?
Yeah, I think it was more the latter. You know, I never. It's kind of veiled in mystery what a producer does, and a producer can do a lot of different things. You know, there's creative
mm-hmm.
producers, and there's just money producers, and then there's the producers that actually produce the project,
do
things to make the project. You know. Happen.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of variety of producers, and for years I have been just opinionating, you know, friends of mine in the business and, you know, whatever, and didn't realize that some of the things that I was doing actually fell under the umbrella of producing. And
it was something that just came naturally to you.
Yeah, and that kind of developed into, okay, well, if you have so many opinions, you know, what do you think about writing? You know, that's when somebody was like, you need to start writing. And, you know, I haven't built up the courage 100% to write behind my own name. I've script doctored and done developmental consultation, like, behind the scenes. And then it just kind of dawned on me, like, you know, you're not getting any younger, kids, so, you know, you may think about building some other credits because, you know, as a woman in the business, you're going to expire. Whether you're so popular people get sick of looking at you or you, what they call age out,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, mm-hmm. if you have another ability in this industry, you should start
right.
building credits. Yeah. Because I don't want to start over in a whole other business. I don't want to learn
right.
dentistry or any. You know what I mean? Like I love storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Wow, that's really That's great, though, and you've got, you're developing all kinds of different options for yourself then, too, you know? It's like...
One serves the other pretty well. You know, if you're deeply involved in things, you can have some hand in, building your plate as full as possible and trying not to, you know, overflow it, but trying to be accommodating to a flow of things you have to juggle. And
all of it's adding to your knowledge base, and then, you know, it probably, even though they're completely different things on the acting end and the producing end, they probably help, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I would imagine the knowledge you gain on both sides helps you with the other role, you know, just having that perspective.
It's weird when you get, or everybody's different, but for me, like when I started gaining producer perspective and encouraged to be thinking that way, for a long time I was discouraged in thinking that way. I had someone who was telling me, you're an actor, just be an actor, why are you even thinking about that stuff? But when I started getting encouraged to contribute those ways, you know, you start to see actors differently. I don't want to say you start to see them worse, but you definitely start to feel like, you know, there's a whole bigger picture here and lots of people and stakes involved and, you know, show up and do your job.
Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can see the forest, and, you know, for the trees and all that, you know, it's like having that big perspective, you know, when you're sort of taught to just go in and do your part, you know.
Definitely see it now, you know, different. There's so many people working just as hard or harder than the actors, you know, and an actor's job isn't easy, especially if they're doing it well, but at the same time, you know, they're not worried about the responsibility of an entire team, you know, like is the team on time? Did the team have a meal break? You know, like, their problem solving is within themselves and their own character, whereas producing problem solving is every department, everything before you shoot, after, you know,
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I just saw an interview with one of the kids from, I don't know if you ever, you might not be old enough to have watched the Wonder Years
have
much of a memory of them, but the older brother, you know, the bratty older brother that was always beating up on Kevin, he's now, he gravitated towards the producing side. And I saw an interview with him recently. It's kind of the same sort of thing. He said most of the people in his family were producers and on the business side of it. And so he gravitated towards that. I think it's named Jason Hervey or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so kind of a similar thing. He grew up as a child actor, but, you know, then later developed into a producer. So.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I hate the business end of it. Like, I'm not a numbers girl, you know. I'm not a numbers girl, and I'm not, like, I don't know, like, you have to have a certain side of you that, you know, does know numbers and is a salesman to be that particular type of producer, which I respect and I'm endeavoring to learn, but at this point I'm coming more from like a creative producer standpoint where
that's
like,
it.
I was going to ask you, what do you like, the acting or the producing better? Where's your heart at?
Both. My heart right now is in acting. That's where my heart's at. That's my heart, my lifeblood. That's what love.
Where did you start out at? Like, what did you go to an acting school, or did you start out for singing and dancing, or did I see somewhere where you went to Arthur Murray's dance school somewhere?
Is that
true?
I did that, and I did like the Osmonds Performing Theater of Dance, and uh-huh. You know, like, I was one of those kids. I was actually kind of a chubby kid, and so my mom would put me in stuff like dance to, like, help with that. And plus, in my family,
cool.
like, mm-hmm. yeah, in my family, like, you know, just making good grades wasn't enough. You had to have so many extracurriculars going on, which was great, you know. I mean, I appreciate it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I always wanted to act as a kid. I did pageants a million years ago, which I don't remember because I was a baby practically. And, I have no memory of that. But I've seen the pictures, so it must have happened.
The little baby beauty pageants.
You probably learned some things about, you know, just having a presence and everything that maybe,
My strongest memory from pageant years is the first time I had ever seen glitter hairspray.
Oh, boy.
Was gone.
Do you just stay away from those like toddler and tiara shows and stuff? Or
well, you know, I think it's so funny because I have kind of seen a little bit of that stuff, and it seems so much more aggressive than it was.
Yeah.
I have no memory of it at all, but I don't remember what I'm seeing on that show.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I was in pageants and then school plays and I community theater. And then I auditioned to get into a Performing Arts Academy high school, like a, not a magnet school.
Yeah.
Is it a magnet school?
Uh-huh.
Magnet school?
Yeah,
right.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I was a theater major there as a freshman, and then I left after freshman year to be homeschooled, really give this a shot. And not immediately, but after a while, it worked out, thankfully.
Wow.
Thank God.
Oh. Yeah. That's cool. Well, go ahead.
Amy's taking a lot of courage. How young were you when you started auditioning?
I was properly 14 when I started properly auditioning. Yeah. Before that, it was just community theater and plays, but like commercial and theatrical auditions started coming around like 14.
Wow.
Yeah, and I hated it. I mean, nobody likes the audition process because it's a job interview, essentially.
Right.
You know. But yeah, when I was, you know, an angsty teenager, I really didn't like it. I was like, I don't understand. First rejection every time, you know. It's a hard business for a kid to be in, I think.
Who was your main cheerleader? It's like your mom or your dad or...
Yeah, my mom's tough as nails, you know, and in the best way, in the way where it's like, you know, she makes you keep going. She doesn't push you into it. I wanted to do it. It was my idea, but it's like, okay, well, now you've given your word and your commitment,
right.
And you have to live up to your commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in those moments.
I can relate to
that.
I mean, because I can remember, like, as a kid, you know, like, one of my friends would, like, change instruments every, like, 3 months or whatever, and they're like, you got a violin, you're sticking with the violin, that's what you're going to play. And I could play that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I loved it, and I did love it, but it was kind of like I have an early memory of that, of, like, you know, you're not going to be, like, switching things every 5 minutes. You know, you committed to this for the school year or whatever it was, you know. And,
right.
And you know, and that's a sort of a principle that kind of stuck in my mind, I think, after that. It was a good thing to learn, you know. But
yeah.
Work at something, become proficient at it and enjoy it along the way. And but and I think it's nice, too, because, like, you were an angsty teenager, so it's like your mom knew your heart, knew you wanted to do it. But even the best things that you want to do, you don't feel like doing when you're a teenager sometimes, you know. So it's nice to have somebody who was like, okay, I know this is a gift that she has and you know, that she loves doing it.
Thank you.
On this given day, she probably doesn't feel like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or staying up all night studying lines or whatever it might be. But, you know, she knew that that's, you know, something you ultimately wanted to do. So, you know, she supported you in that.
Yeah, both my parents were, you know, my mom and my stepdad were really supportive my whole life. And, you know, I wasn't a wishy-washy kid. I think maybe their support would have waned if I had ever landed on a different idea. Like, I never changed my mind.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That's
so
cool.
I was really lucky to have those cheerleaders.
Aww.
Is the Lives Camp how about? I mean, I know you tried out for Jordan, or was it Teresa?
I'm sorry.
Last year?
Well, it was It was a screen test that was essentially for, they were considering the girls testing for both roles, and they chose, you know, or at least the sides that I read in my test were the Teresa sides. I don't know if everyone got the same sides, but there was a crop of us there that day, and didn't really have a chance. I mean, I met everybody, but, you know, those situations are so, like, get in, get out, get on next, get in, get out, get on next, but you don't really, you know, and high pressure, so it's not like you're chatting it up.
Sure.
No. But, yeah, I read the Teresa stuff.
Well, it's funny because,
I just want to add to the audition thing, that's all. It just, it seems like Days does bring in actors for multiple roles, though. So I think Guy Wilson, I think I interviewed him today. I think he auditioned for a different role before he got, then he brought him in to read for Will. And it seems like Dave does that a lot. But I think Jen Lilly, I think they didn't know they would have for Teresa. I think Jen wanted to do Jordan instead or something like that. So I think it's great that they bring back actors multiple times.
It's great. And I have been into Days not quite a bit, but off and on since the end of Passions. I had gone into Days a couple of times for different things. Nothing had gone as far as the test, you know, but, to get the call, I don't know if I should just come clean about this, but I didn't audition for Cheryl. I got told you're being considered. And we don't know, and you're not the only one being considered, but that's where it's at. Yeah, and I really knew nothing. And then, when thankfully they did pick me, I didn't think that the character would be as awesome and involved as she's been. You know, thought maybe it was.
She's
just,
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't think it was going to be that big.
Well, I have to say, because you know, let's face it, soap fans, I mean, because you were on Passage, you know how it goes. I mean, a lot of times soap fans are not real welcoming of new characters. It's kind of like we like our old comfy shoes. We like to know who we're looking at.
Right.
You know, they're in our living room every day, or on our laptop
one.
Or our iPad or our iPhone or whatever it is nowadays that you're watching out and on. But it's like, you know, you get used to the characters and everything, and they're like, you're like a little extended family, you know. So when a new character comes in, you know, you would think, you know, the audience would be like welcoming and, oh, wow, this is going to really mix it up. But a lot of times it's like, oh, I don't like him or her. Oh, you know, it takes a while to grow, you know, for characters to grow on people, I think, just generally speaking. And I have to say that the first scenes that you were in, I was already tweeting. I was like, oh, my gosh, she and Brian worked so well with each other.
Oh, yeah.
You, Lauren, and Brian had such chemistry in those scenes. And I was immediately like, oh, my gosh, they have to go this route. And then, you know, as you may or may not recall, my first shot, because I was just so excited, I was like, Shukas. And I was like, oh, that's a horrible name.
You're the one. They asked me to. Dude, when I honestly, like, because I was made aware of this, I don't know what they're called, smush names is what I call them. But when I was first made aware that such a thing existed, I came up with Shukas too, girl.
I thought you confessed too. That was great. You're like, that's what I thought too. Yeah, and then I don't know who
I've been sitting on. I was like,
Shukas
soundtrack.
I wish somebody would step forward and take credit for Lush, because it wasn't, you know, I don't know who it was, but I was
that's
so
better.
Relieved because somebody tweeted back there like, Lush. I'm like, okay,
Lush.
That's way better. So it's such a cute guy. It's like one of the best couple names ever. especially considering Lucas plays an alcoholic. But that's, what's that?
I said I can't take credit for Lush, but for the smush name. But, yeah, I feel you, girl. I'm on that team, too.
But they are so cute. I mean, and it's funny, too, because it was just, like, instantly. And I wasn't really prepared. You know, I hadn't watched Passions, so I had heard that you were coming on, but I honestly wasn't familiar with – I knew a few characters from Passions, but I didn't watch the show. So I didn't know your character or anything, so I didn't really know much about you, but I was like, right away, I was just pulled in to Lucas and Cheryl, you know? And that says a lot. And there seemed to be a real instant, genuine reaction, positive reaction to them on Twitter and everything. I was really surprised at just how quickly it caught on, you know? So I think that's really a testament to you and Brian that,
Thank you so much.
You could
create more
something that quickly. Yeah, that you could create that just that quickly, you know, and have that kind of an impact. And I loved it that, you know, Cheryl on the one hand seems all sweet and, you know, really nice and a little bit meek and humble and everything. And then like the second or third day, she's like turning around on Jordan and like giving it right back to her. And I'm like, oh, she's got some dimensions there. She's an interesting character, you know. So
you took
the ball and ran with it, girl. So.
I have to credit the writers, truthfully, for making such a cool and dynamic character. I think that they realized that, you know, when you're in a first-time meeting someone situation, that you're minding your P's and Q's, and if you have a history with somebody, that changes the game. Now you're a little more yourself. Now there's history. So I have to credit the writers there. And, you know, as far as, like, the chemistry, I absolutely credit my co-star, who is so much fun and just, you know, how could you not have
Isn't he hilarious? Brian?
We've met him.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. And, you know, I got to credit the producers and the casting director, Marnie Sieta, for, you know, thinking that I'm the best choice in that circumstance to play with Dottillo and get to play with Lauren Coslow and like,
love Lauren.
I'm so flattered to have been blessed with what Cheryl is and I'm having a blast because I get to play an adult, you know.
Yay!
you don't have to worry about how low your voice is or anything, right?
No, girl.
No. I thought they had a cute scene the other day when they were talking. Like, they both know that they really are into each other, and it was kind of like, okay, it was kind of like a shortcut conversation, but it was just kind of like, okay, we both know this isn't part of business, and this is separate, and, you know, it was kind of cute.
That was fun and brief. Thank you. That was fun and brief, and, you know, I think the Lucas Cheryl storyline has been a slow burn so far, and... you know, you can.
Well, the cool thing is, it's a slow burn, but it's like it had an immediate appeal. That's what was cool about it. It's like there was immediate chemistry, there was an immediate appeal, and you guys pulled us in right away. So that's when a slow burn is fun, when you can see the chemistry right away, and you're like, okay, it's gonna happen. It's good, you know, they're gonna get together, you know. But you enjoy the ride too, and so that's what I'm enjoying that. So.
Thank you. This is everything you said to me is the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. My God, thank you.
Aww.
Now the big question is Kate going to approve? Kate's going to approve of Cheryl?
That is something
her little boy.
Yeah,
how she's been with all, you know, whoever Lucas
I've
has
heard.
Been with. Yeah. Just watch out for Kate.
Somebody.
Yeah, just watch out for the brownies, you know.
Yeah, that's what they told me, yeah.
She tries to serve you brownies.
Yeah, I feel like it's been strange. I feel like I've kind of gotten the stamp of approval from Kate in a lot of ways. She's almost kind of pushed him at me.
Yeah.
I probably would have shied off from the boss.
Yeah. But she has an agenda, though, too, you know.
Yeah.
For Jordan, so, yeah.
She has an agenda that Jordan, or that... I'm totally unaware of.
Right.
Exactly. You know, so I don't know
so
how much.
It's so funny how Lauren plays it, too, because there was a scene this week where you weren't in the scene, but she was having a scene with Rafe and Jordan, and Jordan said something like, and Cheryl just loved, and she acts like she has to think for a minute, like, oh yeah, Cheryl, like she has no idea that, you know.
Right.
I mean, oh yeah, she works for Lucas, you know, or whatever. It was like, it was so funny because it's like we all know she brought her to town, you know, to do this, you know. So it was cute. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, the impression I get so far is Kate's cool with her. You know, I don't know if it stays that way, but she seems to be, you know, approving. So pastries should be safe for a while anyway, for sure.
I hope so. I know that you know, Cheryl is unaware that she's a pawn.
Right.
You know, and if and when that comes to surface, who knows what that will mean for everyone involved, you know?
Right. Very true. Well, Lucas is enjoying it. It certainly doesn't I don't feel like Lucas is minding one bit. Well, I mean, he likes to argue with his mother about everything, but at the same time, he certainly seems to be enjoying, you know, the whole
Lucas
process.
The girl.
I would say.
Yeah.
Well,
we've
I
been
know.
Waiting for someone for Lucas, so and I think you're the perfect
time.
Choice.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the support behind us as a couple comes from, you know, the dedication of his fans. You know, they love him. They love his character. They've been at his side for years in watching everything that his character has grown through.
Right.
And so I'm thrilled to get some stamps of approval from his fans. But I think that, you know, they really wanted to see Brian back, and they wanted to see him give a little action, from what I gather. I read that a lot. Yeah. Twitter filled with that.
Well, and that is true. I mean, because we love Brian and everything. But what I thought, though, I was like, wow, it's so awesome that he, you know, he finally has a character that really works well with him, that's a good fit, that doesn't, you know, that brings him up instead of bringing him down. Because, I mean, they had written, I mean, I don't know if you had watched the show before, but they had really diminished Lucas several times with some of the pairings, you know, and something. It was just, it's nice that they're on a professional level, and then they've got this whole chemistry thing also, you know. It's like they seem to me to be kind of, even though she's his employee, they seem to be on a similar, I don't know, level or wavelength, or I don't know what it is, but it's just a really great match, and I think it's going to be fun to continue to watch it. And so,
thank you. But no, I think that, you know, for Cheryl anyway, Lucas came in her life at the right time. And kind of, you know, here's somebody who's been walking around a little bit with her head looking at the ground, you know, and the first time she looks up, she sees the guy. And you know, it seems that Lucas is in the right place because, you know, from what I gather, all the other potential floating satellite love interests are sewn up in a relationship or something else. So, you know, it's a fresh wind of change. I will say, Cheryl's totally smitten.
She doesn't even know what to do with herself. Lucas is too.
She hopes so. She hopes so. We'll have to see.
Has Brian done any imitations for you or impressions?
Oh, yeah, he does a hell of a Walken. Christopher Walken?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. You guys didn't know that?
No.
I've
never heard him do that one.
Oh, he's amazing. He is so awesome. And I have to tell this weird, I don't know, this comes from nowhere, but we were shooting a scene, and I just watched it air recently. We were shooting a scene, and they wanted him to fiddle with his coffee. Like, they wanted, you know, coffee business. So you open up your coffee, and you put your creamers or whatever in your coffee. I don't know if he did it on purpose or accident, but he put Parmesan cheese in his coffee. and had to just kind of suffer through it while he shot, because now he has this coffee in his hand, you know.
He actually drank
best
it?
Best day ever. He was drinking it,
know,
oh, okay.
You go, you have the coffee business, you continue on with the scene, and if you're just going to stand there with your cup, see, Brian's the actor that'll go for it. Brian's the actor that'll be like, I'm going to take a sip anyway, because Lucas fixed his coffee. But behind the scenes, Brian put Parmesan in his coffee. It was wonderful to watch that and just be on the other side of the scene knowing that's what you're drinking.
Were you in the scene with him? How did you not crack up?
Oh, yeah, it was me and Chriselle. We're in the scene. In fact, I think when this is last week, I think it was, me and Chriselle were in the scene, and we're in the club, and we're chatting, and then Lucas comes in, and I say, hey, Lucas, you're not going to say hello? And he had some coffee business beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
But when the scene opens, you hear me and Chriselle, like, cackling, just cackling. And that's when I remembered, oh, that's right, that's when he put cheese in his coffee.
We have to go back and watch that again.
Really behind
that
scene.
Go back for
you guys.
That's
awesome.
Well, hey,
let me
have a caller.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put her on. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Mary. You're on with Jade.
Hi, Jade. This is Mary, formerly Arizona, now transplanted to South Carolina.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm great, dear. We've met two or three times at the...
That's right. You're the blonde. You got the...
Yes. Okay, great.
I remember.
I want you to know how much I am loving you, as Cheryl.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you can just see the chemistry between you and Brian. And I'm just hoping the writers treat you right and we get to see a good love story.
Oh, thank you so much.
You got to watch your back, sweetheart, because Kate gets real protective of her.
Yeah, I gather.
Yeah.
She's protective of her discretion and her family. So
yeah, I love, don't get me wrong, I love Lauren.
Okay.
I reached through the screen and just slapped the shit out of her.
Well, that's the mark of a good actor.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I love you in the bay too.
Thank
you. And I'm a real worry wart for Leanne, Anna. I guess it's the mother coming out in me.
She'll take all the mothering she can get.
when you see what she has gone through, anybody that has been with the Bay from day one, it seems
as you have.
Oh yes, I have. The hell of a life she's gone through. What can you expect? But I tell you what, Leanna's got guts. She's a strong young lady, and she's going to overcome all this crap. That's my prediction.
I still have that hope. I carry that hope too. Thank you.
And if Gregory doesn't do that, then he's going to have to deal with me.
Oh, I'm going to let him know. You know, he's got beef already, just in case you're thinking of popping me off. In case you succeed to the next suicide attempt, you're going to have problems. No.
That was something else. That was something else. And I tell you what, your mama. I love Liz.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Me too.
Okay, sweetheart. Well, I thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, thank you for calling.
And I just wanted you to know what I think of you. I think you're special.
Thank you, my love. I hope to see you soon.
Well, I tell you what, now that I'm in South Carolina, I don't know.
It's more challenging.
Yeah, back on the West. It was easy when I was in Phoenix. You hop on a plane, you're there in 50 minutes.
Right. Well, I'm going to hold out
for... Yeah, they do a fan event in Atlanta, too, for days, so on Hot Pusher in Atlanta.
There.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
You can drive to Atlanta. I'm only 3 hours from Atlanta.
Tweet to them and say you want Jade to be there. Yeah, the day's charity events, yeah. They take
I'd love to go.
You take care.
You too, love.
Thanks, Mary.
Hi.
Bye, Mary.
Bye. Thanks, Mary.
Bye.
Nice.
She's funny.
Huh? Yeah.
Does Cheryl break out a little bit more, or is she in the future? She's still in the race. Jordan, Kate, Lucas, Packard. And does she spread her wings a little bit more in Salem and interact with other characters?
She does have an interaction coming up with another character from Salem. That I think everyone will be very surprised to see, and it'll be interesting to see their reaction. But primarily, it's only been with what they call the
the Fab Four, you know, is and Lucas and I, and with Kate. And I've had a little bit of interaction with Ali Sweeney and Guy Wilson.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, those are Lucas's staples, you know.
So,
she's primarily just involved with the ones that I mentioned, the other four actors. But yeah, she has some interaction with a few other people in Salem.
That's cool.
Very cool. Now, do you ever, let's see. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say, so how's the makeup room these days? You getting to know Nikki and
he's great. He is so great. So great and so supportive, and you know, that team there, the hair and makeup team, are so incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Yes, and Rich and Wardrobe, like, there's such a family dynamic behind the scenes at Days.
Yeah, I've always heard that.
It's amazing. You know, the two stage managers there, Stuart and Fran, are just incredible. I've never seen that kind of kinship behind the scenes on any set before. Yeah, it's very cool.
That's neat. Well, Nikki has a great, on his Facebook page and stuff, he has some great, I just love his tips and commentary and stories and stuff about, you know, makeup and, you know, style and all that. So it's fun. So anyway, I just popped into my head. I just thought I'd ask about that. I don't know, but we're really enjoying Lush, and hopefully
we'll get
to see more and more of that. And now, are we going to be seeing any other? I probably can't ask this, but I'm just because you probably can't say too much. But I'm just thinking, is there any more extended? Anybody else coming into the picture with Cheryl? Like any past history or anything like that we're going to learn about? Not that you can tell us specifically, but are we going to learn a little bit more about her? Or
you will learn more, not necessarily about her nuts and bolts past, you know, like the architecture that made Cheryl Cheryl. You're not going to learn about that, but but you will learn her personality limitations. You will see more of her perspective on things, you know, as far as, like, she, God bless her, she kind of wears her heart on her sleeve, and, you know, she operates under the rules that, you know, I am who I am, and so she just assumes everybody else is the same exact way, she says what she means, and so on, but, you know, she's in a town where it's everything but.
Yeah, that's so true.
I would think eventually.
I think that's one of the things I love about her too. Is just she is this kind of, and I wasn't sure. You know, it's like I thought. You know, I bet that's an extension. I think that's a part of you that you bring into the character. I just get that sense. But there's also a lot of authenticity there, I think, and I think you just sense that as a viewer. You just see that, you know. So, yeah, but I'm really intrigued to see more. So we'll hopefully get
More. Yeah, the players in Salem and the town itself definitely has an erosive effect on anyone in it.
True.
You know. So we'll just have to see what shape Cheryl takes as the currents pass her. You know. Yeah.
Did you sure Lucas eventually go on?
Those kind of word choices are dangerous with the whole Nick. Did you say currents?
Oh, I didn't even mean to. I'm over here making bad puns.
I'm so used to catching those now because there's
how
so many.
Funny.
It's like I'm getting along swimmingly. I mean, there's so many little lines now. It cracks me up.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Cheryl needs to stay away from the river. That's all.
Yeah, stay away from the water.
Yeah, she don't strike me as an outdoor girl anyway. I mean, I'm to a point. I'm to a point, I'm sure, but you know, I think she's far more comfortable, you know, behind a desk and holding a purse. I think she's definitely the kind of girl. She's not afraid to get dirty.
you know. But
are we ever going to see? Now, do we get to see her at Mad World? Are they ever going to take us to that set, or is it pretty much the club is the set for all business that Mad World does?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I can't
okay.
say for sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say for sure.
I'm just curious,
although there is. You know, the company is huge. You know, the company
oh, yeah.
is written to be huge and
oh,
to
yeah.
have several, I don't know if chains is the right, it's a franchise, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope over time you'd get a peek, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay, well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Hashtag stay tuned.
Exactly. Lauren does that to us. Stay tuned. Like, oh, man.
genius.
It's like, can't you tell us just a little bit? No, I'm just teasing. But yeah, well, we're definitely enjoying Cheryl in town. And you've got a lot going on, girl.
Yeah,
girl.
It's been kind of nuts. And you know, I'll be honest, I only talk about maybe a third of what's going on. Because, you know, it's Hollywood and, you know.
Of course.
If you talk about it, if you talk about everything going on, like, chances of
yeah.
stuff falling through are pretty high. So, I like to be busy and I, you know, I don't think I can't do it all. I feel like I can. I feel like I can totally do it all.
Right.
And some things are more priority than others. And, you know, I will say that at this moment, Days is the priority, the love,
mm-hmm.
And when I don't have to give my energy in that direction, then I focus on the producing things for now. And of course, you know, Leanna on the Bay continues
yeah.
to grow up and
mm-hmm.
you know, stumble mm-hmm. her way along. So yeah, so far everything's managed to work out. I would. At this point, a scheduling conflict would be a wonderful problem that I know I could solve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
yeah.
it. It's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to wrap things up. So we're looking forward towards the Bay. And Craig, I know he's always something up his sleeves. I can't wait to see what he's up to this season.
I will say I'm not wearing a whole lot.
I was gonna say, I think Mary Beth told us it gets a lot hotter this year or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful wardrobe, a lot of awesome stuff that way, and Leanna isn't doing it. Leanna's wardrobe could fit in a Ziploc bag.
Oh boy!
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, I'm dieting like crazy.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh,
well, thank you all so much for having
me. Thank you. You're such a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming on with us. We've enjoyed, you know, seeing you on Days and the Bay and, you know, Twitter and everything. So take care and
stay
in touch.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I'll let y'all wrap up. Y'all have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.